Please open your Bibles to the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice! Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Shall we pray? O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you, that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The church occasionally seems to be in a fog without a defined direction. Perhaps the one element crucial to the matter is that it does not really concern religion, but it concerns that of faith. Faith neglect has caused a faith famine. People are literally starving spiritually, and very little is being done about it. Faith is something which requires close scrutiny. Vital faith is an amazing aspect to living a fulfilling life in God. The early church discovered its benefits, as Paul described, as an effective antidote against the spiritual lethargy and malaise that could have crippled this Philippian congregation. In fact, Paul called out two people in this passage. Their names were Euodia and Syntyche. They were co-workers of Paul in the Philippian church. They had ministered with him. These two women were important pillars of the church, but for some reason they had a falling out, and it was causing a division within the congregation. Paul told them they needed to reconcile. Their influence and their strengths, their gifts, were so important for this church. And this church could practically fall apart if those women did not get their act together. So it is so easy to become infected with legalism, ritualism, quarreling, and even withdrawal into a cocoon of isolationism that renders people of faith in the church into a state of paralysis. Rather than submitting to such a dismal existence, we must overcome it with a giant dose of spirituality. How is that accomplished? Paul wrote the prescription out 2,000 years ago as follows. This prescription includes joy in our lives. Joy, J-O-Y, does not depend upon outward circumstances in life. If faith relied on current circumstances, then joy would never be attained. The kind of joy that God offers is something that problems of life cannot penetrate. Now, it must not be assumed that we are going to lead charmed lives. But Paul said that no matter what goes on in this life or how rough it gets, we can still rejoice in the Lord. God desires to enrich, to bless, and to cherish us. That is what God desires to do. Now, another part of the prescription includes peace. Anxiety is not a good trait for people of faith. A worrywart is not an attractive person. I know of people who have wrung their hands through the years. They say, I fear this, I'm afraid of that, I'm reluctant to do this. Their whole life has been a dark cloud of anxiety. And you know what that says to me? It says, if we are beset with worry and anxiety, our faith has little attraction. If people outside the church cannot see a transparent difference, why should they be interested about faith? To have inner peace is worth more than a hefty bank account or a Xanax tablet. It is a supernatural tranquility that penetrates the whole person, freeing us from anxiety and enabling us to trust in God. Paul said this in this particular passage that we know, even the King James says, the peace that passeth all understanding. And there is an inner peace which can be attained. We must seek God to help us to attain that. And that is something, nothing can come between us and our peace with God. An ingredient which is mandatory in this prescription is surprisingly gentleness. Now, gentleness is overlooked much of the time and should be given proper attention. Just imagine if every person would take on this characteristic. It would be revolutionary, wouldn't it, in how we handle people, whether it is family or church, strangers or friends. Paul gave very serious consideration to this attitude of gentleness, since he insisted that the Lord is near. The idea that God is so close is a sobering thought. But what about our materialistic flirtations that distance our lives from God? Look at how abrasive, abusive, and crude society treats each other. Now, of course, none of us are perfect. We know that. But there can be no excuse when we deliberately strong-arm people and use tactics in order to get what we want and say the end justifies the means. When we think about this, the Lord is near, it's a sobering thought. Even when we move away from God, God is still near to us. And this gift of gentleness, this aspect or a personality trait, spiritual trait, let's call it, will bulldoze all those harmful negatives out of our lives. If we only would permit gentleness to take over. The uncouth method or methods do not work. Why not try gentleness? And I want to emphasize this. Gentleness is not a sign of weakness nor cowardice. That is far from the truth. So don't ever let people think that you are being weak if you are a gentle person. Well, the final dose of the prescription requires prayer and study of the Bible. Now, we must incorporate prayer and Bible reading as the cornerstone of our lives. It is a serious shortcoming if we neglect prayer habitually. Prayer is our life support to God. It is no wonder that churches behave more like Saturday night at the fights rather than houses of God. By not being vigilant in prayer, a lot of unchurched people stay away because they don't witness a lot of sincerity among Christians. But disillusionment, negativity, bickering, and lethargy. Through prayer, we may become the victorious people that God desires us to be, and not spiritual lifeless zombies who aren't for sure where we are going. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale wrote about a married couple once who was having marital problems. The husband had been unfaithful to his spouse. His wife gave him an ultimatum that in 45 days, if things were not different or changed, he could ask her for a divorce. However, the wife was reading one of Peale's books, The Guide to Confident Living. Some of you may have read it. Applying the principles of prayer, something then occurred. Every night, the wife would sit in the living room in a prayerful focus on her husband's empty recliner, envisioning that he was occupying it. As the evenings passed, the husband eventually did join her in the living room, but she kept on praying. Such an unusual thing to do, but listen, on a golf course, 45 days later, after she told him what her ultimatum was, she said to her husband, "Are you ready to file for divorce?" And he said, "What divorce? There's no way I could live without you. You're the love of my life." It was by applying the techniques of Paul's prescription and trust in God's power, a marriage was saved from ruination. Now, if a marriage can be salvaged, so may anything else. It says plainly in here about praying and rejoicing for everything. Now, does that mean just only the good things? No. The bad things. Do you ever pray when there's some bad things happening? You may even receive a bill in the mail that you were not expecting. First of all, you panic. I do that every now and then. But I also remember, pray to God about help. Ask God's intervention and help in these matters. We make our lives so rough and tough and miserable by never consulting God through prayer. And it says here that we are to do that. We are to take it to God. Don't be anxious. Now, Paul didn't say that was a sin, having anxiety, but you know what? He could borderline on it, because anxiety, as I said, it makes our faith in God weaker. We have to remember that in our lives daily, regardless of what it is. And if, you know, if this marriage that I just mentioned was completely salvaged and saved, and this couple was reconciled, you know, God can do anything. Some people enjoy, however, wallowing, you know, in spiritual septic tanks of despair. I've known many people who enjoy going through life in a miserable state. But that is not what God wants. God does not want us to do that. Yes, life can be difficult, but people of prayer, we have access to God's vast spiritual resources. We can acquire an unshakable joy, peace, and gentleness, which cannot be purchased. And I want to share this with you. I know this book of Philippians very well. I've translated it from the Greek in seminary. I love this book. I know it backwards and forwards. And what is said in this is something that we could use all the time. Don't neglect this book. Read it over and over in your daily devotionals or whatever you do. And you know, in that regard, we may also develop a spiritual mindset that is focused on prayer and God's Word. This is God's prescription, but we first must decide if we are going to allow our lives to be transformed by these characteristics for a life of obedience to God and be truly people with an effervescent faith. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, as we have seen here in these scriptures in Philippians, how that we can strive and live to have a more healthy faith, we ask your help to let us accomplish this matter. Help us every day, O God, when we have difficulties, whether it's with money, finances, whether it's with health issues, whether it's with family members, with friends or jobs. We pray, O God, help. We seek your help in all things. Thank you, God, for providing us with scripture to read for our well-being. This we pray through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Now let us affirm our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.